perspective. We do not have fingers and or toes. We're just a couple of frozen embryos. We're kinda short on eyes, ears, lips, and nose. We're just a couple of frozen embryos. One day we'll be millionaires, even maybe more. You just have to take us out and watch that baby thaw. We don't spend too much on fancy clothes. We're just a couple of frozen embryos.
Take it away. Womp, womp, womp. Womp, 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 womp.
One day we might grow up to be president. All we're looking for is just a womb to rent. If we play ball, we might be semi-pros. We're just a couple of frozen embryos. We don't go to movies, plays, or shows. We're just a couple of frozen embryos. We're just a couple of frozen embryos. We're just a couple of frozen embryos.
Why did you stop it? You,
I didn't
you
stop
were
it.
Cringing the whole time.
I didn't stop it. I let it play.
Why?
Because the guy sent it to me. Say, why?
Why?
Because he hates me.
Uh-huh.
Now I have that stuck in my head. You know, last week he sent me this song with the fish heads.
Yeah.
Which I love that song. And you said, why did you play that? Why did he send you that song? And I said, because he hates me. Mm-hmm. He actually sent me an email. Mm-hmm. I don't hate you.
Did you say, I was just kidding.
It's just my humor. It's just the humor in me. It gotta get out.
Rolling down the freeway with a rag top down. I gotta shuffle on the radio with ratty bass sound. I got two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night.
Oh yeah.
Two blind squirrels in the morning. Radio on demand. It's all right.
They all love me, Faith. They love me. They all love me. They want me.
You've been saying that for years.
They all want me.
I don't think
me.
I'm on. I can't hear myself.
They all want me.
Two blind squirrels in the morning. People radio on demand. It's all right.
Can you hear me? I can't
I can hear
myself
you just
very
fine.
Well.
Let me turn your headphones up.
Yes, please.
I can do that.
Thank you.
There you
oh,
go.
Oh, that's much better.
Oh, isn't it wonderful?
It is.
Isn't it wonderful when you can hear things?
Yes.
Yes. I'm not through grooving. I'm not through.
Brad Big Daddy with a microphone. Not alone, kicking it live with homeboy Chaz. Got the fizz air. Two blind squirrels and the girls podcasting long lasting. Check out the brain on Brad.
So, you, so you got to check this out, okay? This is the funniest thing ever, okay? I mean, like, and it's funny for several different reasons.
Alrighty.
And you almost have to see it, but they can't see it, so I don't want you to see it because I want to get your impression without seeing it. Funny.
April will get a kick out of that. She's been saying that for months.
Charlie bit me
hard.
There's the original video of Charlie bit me.
Charlie bit me.
Is these two kids.
Yeah.
Is this these two kids, little kids sitting. Now you got to go watch the video on YouTube. Just type in Charlie bit me.
They have British accents.
And the little brother's sitting. The big brother's got the little brother sitting in his lap and it's just a little baby. And he
sticks his finger in his
mouth. Well, the first time it just he didn't stick his finger in the mouth. Charlie bent over and bit him. And then everybody kind of laughed at it. Yeah. So he took his – Charlie bit me, ha, ha. And then he stuck his finger in the Charlie's mouth.
Yeah.
And you just see the expression on his face change to one of pain and terror.
Charlie bit me. It hurt.
Yeah, yeah. That really hurt, Charlie. So the fun I have had.
Oh, that's funny.
The fun I have had with that.
With Charlie, yeah.
And Charlie in the car has been – massively fun.
That and the other
grab the amulet,
the
Charlie.
Amulet, Charlie.
I have fun with Charlie.
fun with Charlie.
Oh, we all have to have our. It's the little things in life.
It's the
little blessings the Lord gives us.
Somehow you got to get that link to April because she'll think that's funny.
Okay, I will send it to her. Meanwhile, backst on our sides of the planet, we had a faith builder. We didn't have a faith builder yesterday.
No, we didn't. Why not?
I forgot.
Yeah.
And the show is 30 minutes long, so everybody probably appreciated us just like forgetting or something.
Okay, so today.
Today on Faith Builders.
Faith Builders.
With faith.
2 Peter. Back to Peter. 1:3-4. Are you ready?
I is.
His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So what I love about this is that he provides us the tools to live the life that he requires.
Mm.
His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness.
Mm.
Isn't that awesome?
I love it.
He provides everything we need. If that's not a faith builder, I don't know what is.
I don't know what is.
I'm not going to say a word here.
Nah, that's a good idea.
So.
Timmy Tim.
I miss Timmy Tim.
Where is Timmy Tim?
I need to call Tim. I miss him.
Is he still on his green box diet?
I guess. I haven't heard. I haven't heard anything to the contrary.
The cardboard green box diet? Okay, anyway, yeah. So what you got? You got a Grow Kids Minute?
Yes, we have a Grow Kids Minute.
Okay.
On the Father's Mandate.
Grow Kids, this is 5 minute. Maybe that's what you should call him.
This is one of our favorite episodes with it's called The Father's Mandate, and it's basically an 8-part lecture that he gives specifically directed at the fathers. Now, the women are there too. It's not – the class isn't just for the fathers.
Right.
But the principles are directed directly at the fathers. And so I just thought I'd go down the list. And I have them actually printed on a card and laminated.
Mm-hmm. In his wallet.
And stuck in my wallet so that I can get them out, read over them, and kind of remember the principles involved here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the 8 principles are cultivate a sense of family identity. And what he means by that is we McFaddens, we follow the Lord. We, cultivate a sense of family identity, that they're part of a team. You're trying to build the principle that they're part of the team. They're not the center of the team.
No.
They're not the purpose of the team. They're merely a part of the team.
They're a team player.
They're on the team.
When I was a kid, we were the Guywitzes, and we did, our ministry was short-term missions, and I knew that. I knew that as an identification of my family. That was a big part of reaching out to the world and the people around us was a big part of the identification of my family.
Yeah.
It was huge. I mean, and I knew that. My dad made that very clear to me.
And, part of our family identity is that we don't do Santa Claus. I mean, we do Santa Claus, but we don't tell Helen...
That he's real. Yeah.
We try to be as honest with her about what is real and what is not as real as we can possibly be. Tooth fairy, Santa Claus, whatever it is, so that she doesn't confuse religion and faith and the Lord and, things that you can't see with these myths.
Fairy tales.
And we just want to be clear. That's just one of our family identities. It's not a biblical principle. It's not something we tell other people to do. It's just part of our family identity.
They're careful very careful to not break the Santa Claus myth for other people. Yes. Helen has been told, don't.
Is her best friend.
Ruin it. Her best friend believes in Santa Claus. And we're like, please don't tell
her.
Don't
tell. That's none of your business. The other thing we do as a family identity is we are encouragers. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we try to instill in Helen is to encourage others. And we give incentives for that, and to give blessings, to give compliments, those kinds of things. All right, moving right along. Number two, demonstrate an ongoing love for your wife. I love you, Faye.
I love you.
No.
She's not watching. I love you.
No. I love you.
No, I love you.
So me and Faith tried to be very clear about telling each other we love each other in front of Helen.
Mm-hmm. And showing.
And we naturally do that anyway, because we're pretty grossly disgusting lovey people.
At least you are.
So we hug, we kiss, we tell each other we love each other. If we fight, we make up in front of Helen. I mean, if we have an argument in the car or a discussion or a disagreement, we be sure that we also, make up in front of Helen.
Kissing. Who are you fighting with? I'll fight with you.
We have disagreements about things. Let me tell you something. 4:30, day two, way back from Wisconsin.
Not a good time.
Not a good time in the McFadden car.
No. Every single trip.
Every single trip. Best thing that Faith can do is sleep at that point. Because we're just all ready to be home. All of us. Okay. Demonstrate an ongoing love for your wife. We do this through couch time, which we've already talked about. Okay. Understand your child's private world. This is sort of a weird concept, or it's not something you just naturally think about. But what they're talking about here is, help me out with this one, because it's hard to put into words better than he does it. But
sometimes your kids, take opportunities when you're a lot of times when you're tucking them into bed or when you're going for walks. Walks are funny how they make us open up.
Sure.
But when you're tucking your kids into bed or and they say something to you, you know, like so-and-so said this to me today. And you say, like, here's an example. Helen told me today, I told Taryn that I was going to marry my daddy. And she told everybody. And I don't like it that she's telling everybody, because I'm not really going to marry him. He's my daddy. But I just said that. I mean, because I like my daddy.
Who's this Taryn?
And so, exactly.
I'll take him out.
That's how you're not supposed to react. Yeah. So I said, well, you know, what would you do? You know, what would you know? So instead of, you know, doing what Brad just did, you need to allow them to open up to you so that they can trust you to open up to you next time. So she knows that she can come to me and talk to me about those things. And what should you do? You should go talk to her and say, you know what, that I don't like it that you're, I mean, I don't know if you're, why you're telling other people if you think that's funny. I don't really think I'm going to marry my daddy. Could you, you know, and told her, just ask her, not tell people. And if she does, then, you know, that, I don't know, that says something about her being a friend and maybe you don't need to tell her things, you know? So anyway, I just think that you need to take those opportunities when your kids open up to you and be trustworthy in them.
And yes. And you know, the way he kind of said it was, when they open up and let you into their private world, you don't want to go in and rearrange the furniture.
Right.
You're a guest there.
Yeah.
And if you don't act like a guest when you're there, you will not be invited back.
Right. That's exactly right.
And so that is the hardest thing for daddies to do.
Yeah, because they want to fix everything.
We're guys. We want to fix stuff. Don't tell me if you don't want me to fix it. Right. But that doesn't work with kids, and you don't want to make that mistake.
Especially
girls. You can tell your wife that. Don't tell me if you don't want me to fix it. But with little girls, and you really shouldn't know your wife. But anyway, with little girls, you know, and little boys too, when they let you in, just listen and just take it. Take it in.
Take it in.
And if they ask you a question, answer it. But if they don't ask you a question,
just listen.
Don't volunteer.
Yeah, just listen.
And try to be brief and good, because those moments are not moments to teach. Those moments are not moments to fix things. Those moments are strictly to build trust.
Unless they ask, yeah.
Build trust.
Like Kelly came and asked me.
With trust, then comes the questions. Mm-hmm. Okay, once they know that they can trust you, then comes the questions, and they'll do what they'll trust your answer.
And it's hard for little girls to talk to daddy about, you know, boys and things like that, because being a little girl at one time myself, you're embarrassed about what your daddy is going to think about. I mean, it's embarrassing to be even thinking about those things, but then you're embarrassed because you know your daddy's not going to react, you know, in mm-hmm. a way that is positive, because he's protective of you when he's your daddy. And you don't really understand why, but you just know. Mm-hmm. And so what are you looking at?
The stripes on your shirt. I'm just thinking about what you're saying.
So anyway, it's just.
But here's the thing with available. That. Here's the thing with that. And wives, mothers, you can help with this. When the child comes to you, if it's something daddy needs to know about,
yeah.
Don't tell your child, okay, I won't, you know, don't tell daddy, okay, what is it? And then go tell him.
Right.
Okay. If it's something daddy needs to know about, you need to tell that child, this is something your daddy needs to know about. Now,
you need to tell
your dad that. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want me to be there when you do it, that's fine.
Right.
But you need to be there. You need to tell your dad this. And then go to the dad and say, she's going to tell you something. She needs to tell you something. Be prepared. And brace yourself for whatever. Sometimes you can even pre-tell. Give some hints, mm-hmm. some ideas of what it is that she's going to tell. But then let her tell it.
But then there's things that, you know, Helen comes to me and tells me about that I don't ever tell Brad, because there's no reason for him to know, and it would just freak him out. And it's not anything.
It doesn't
big.
Help to know that there's things you don't tell me.
But it's not anything hugely important. But it's just not things that daddies can handle so very well.
Understand? Okay, so give your child the freedom to fail. As Americans, this one's kind of hard for us, isn't it? But failure is an opportunity to learn. Failure should be viewed as the first step towards success. If you don't allow your child to fail, if you only enroll your child in things that you know that they're going to succeed at right away, if you make life that easy for your child, they'll never know what it's like to really succeed.
Yep.
You have to allow them to fail, and they have to learn that lesson that failure is the first step to success. What did I learn from that? And what can I do better next time to actually, anything that they're going to be good at, they have to fail at first. And sometimes you have to manufacture that.
But there's a difference.
Especially in today's world.
There's a difference between trying and failing and not trying and failing. That's unacceptable.
If they are not trying and failing, then that's unacceptable. Right.
But if they tried their best and failed.
Yeah. You need to not be disappointed in them. You need to love them and say, hey, that's great. You know, that's exactly what was supposed to happen, darling. Mm-hmm. Nobody succeeds the very first time. But, you know, today's world is not set up like that. And so, you know, it's all about the child's self-esteem and these kinds of things. And so sometimes you have to, you know, step in and take.
My parents were very good at that.
A very good example. Helen wanted to learn to play the guitar. Okay. You know, well, can I play the guitar? Sure. Here's the guitar. Sit down. You know, play me a song. And, you know, after playing with it for 30 or 40 minutes, she realized she couldn't make a song.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, how do you make it? You have to practice and you have to learn and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and so, you know, that was that opportunity to say, then the next step is taking lessons and learning how mm-hmm. to properly play the guitar and really what's involved in it. And she ended up going with the violin, but still same
principle.
Which
is much harder.
Encourage your child. This is the next principle, people. Encourage your child. When you don't know what to say, encourage your child.
Mm-hmm.
Before you say it, encourage your child. Mm-hmm. Encouragement should flow from our lips anyway. I mean, the Bible is full of that. Anytime Paul addressed anybody, it was always with encouragement first. And your correction doesn't mean anything without the principle being laid down that this discipline is to encourage you. It's mm-hmm. all encouragement. And you need, you know, even the punishment I'm going to give you is designed to be in encouragement for reaching our goals. And what's the goal? The goal is the love of righteousness. The goal is a relationship with the Father. All right, so encourage your child. Don't need to say anything more about that? Okay. Guard your tongue and your tone.
Yes.
This also goes along with
So when Helen brings a jar of worms and puts them on the dining room table, the response is not, get those nasty worms off my table.
Which I did not say.
No.
Oh, cool. Well, where'd you get those? How did you get those? Oh, well, you did a good job putting them in that jar. You know.
Yeah. We'll put them over here now.
I don't want to look at them while I'm eating, but that's really cool. Yeah. And she had a flower that she gave me that was, I dare say, not the prettiest flower ever in the world, but it was a look on her face of setting the flower up so that I would see it, mm-hmm. you know. And she couldn't even wait for me to sit down and actually see it. You know, it had a little card on it that said, yeah. To Daddy from Helen. And she had it in the light above where I sit for supper. And she couldn't even wait for me to sit down and yeah. notice it myself. She had to look at it. Oh, wow, that is so special. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get it and put it in a vase in my room. And that's a very, you know, it's not hard to do that.
No.
It's not hard to play along a little bit. And, you know, the gift was not the flower. The beauty was not in the flower. Right. The beauty was in her face.
Yeah.
And so guard your tongue, your tone. Your kid comes home and their hair is cut off because their wife cut their hair off at the beauty shop. And we don't do well with change, okay? You know, wives, give your husband a heads up, okay? And she comes in, look, Daddy, I got a bob. You look like a 12-year-old boy. Did your mom, who cut your hair? You know,
yeah.
Who cut your hair? They're in trouble. You know, this is not the proper response.
Right.
Right? Deed's done.
Joke is it just takes the guy 2 days to get used to it, and he'll love it.
In 2 days, I know I'll love it.
Yeah.
You know. I won't, because I like long hair, but still. Wives, give your husbands a heads up when something like that's going to happen. Or they get earrings in their ear. Okay? That was my biggie. I came home, my kid had earrings in her ear. And she was very excited about it, and I was very much against it.
But she doesn't have them anymore.
I had not been told. Next one. Well, let's go. Let's spend a little more time on guard your tone.
Okay.
Guard your tone with not just with that kind of thing, but also when you are being when you are disappointed in them, mm-hmm. and when you are trying to encourage them to something. Be sure your tone is conveying, especially us men. Okay, we need to not convey the frustrations of our day and our boss and our employees or whatever. Or, you know, whoever's bugging us, we need to convey the love for mm-hmm. our child. And even if they're doing something that we disapprove of or that we need to correct, we still need to convey that in love. Mm-hmm. And so we need to guard our tone and not carry the tone that we use with our, you know, about our employer or employees or whatever. Okay. It means a lot, the tone of our voice. Okay. Routinely embrace your child, number 7. This is important. Of course, you know, it's pretty easy when they're 3 and 4 years old.
Right.
But it's important, especially when young men start to become 7 or 8 years old and don't
want to be hugged so much anymore.
Don't want to be hugged so much anymore. You still need to hold them. You still need to make it okay to hold them when they do come to you and want to be held, or when you have the opportunity, when they let you. Make sure they hold you. I mean, I still love to hug my dad. I mean, mm-hmm. there's nothing more safe in the world than hugging my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'd never pass up the opportunity to give him a hug. And
girls, when they get to be about 12, 13, 14 yeah. years old, all of a sudden your body's changing.
They want to crawl up in your lap and you're not so comfortable with that
yeah,
anymore.
And you're thinking, okay, I don't know what to do with you. How do I touch you? Oh, you know, and you're patting him on the back. You have a good day. I don't know what to do with you. You're becoming a woman and I don't know. My dad never changed. Hugs were still present. There was no uncomfortableness.
You just pretend they're two
and you love them because they're your daughter and that's that.
Yeah.
But because stopping hugging them then at the most vital time when they need a hug more than anything from daddy, because they're going to go look for that hug from somebody else.
Right.
And you don't want it to be somebody else.
Nope. Give your daughters hugs and be sure that you embrace them. Be sure that you place your hand on them while you're encouraging them. Go back to number 5. Encourage your child. Put your hand on your son.
That just makes it even more.
Put your hand on your son's shoulder when you're talking to them. And encouraging them, and be sure that at every opportunity you touch your children, put your hand on their shoulder, their head, their back, even when they're adults, you know, young adult, you know, whatever, you know, embrace your children and show love through touch. It's a love language. Mm-hmm. Okay. Build trust on God's word, number 8. This is the one that, you know, that I really try to work at, because a lot of times we're busy people, and a lot of times our quiet time with the Lord is when everybody else is away. It kind of has to be. Mm-hmm. But we need to make sure that our children know we're reading the Bible, that we're studying the Bible, that they need to see us in the Word. Mm-hmm. They need to see us praying. When they ask our advice, even though we know the answer right away, no, you can't go out with that boy, you need to say, I need to pray about that. Mm-hmm. And then they need to see you pray. Pray right then, or, you know, bow a knee right then, or, you know, let them walk in on you praying. I mean, you know, you may have to manufacture some of these events, but that's okay. I mean, make them real events, but I'm just saying, make sure that they see you praying, mm-hmm. seeing you reading the Bible, see you and your wife discussing spiritual issues, spiritual topics, what the preacher talked about on Sunday, you know, whatever it is. Let your children know that you have your trust in the Lord, because they know it's a bigger picture, and you're just not a dictator telling them what to do, right. But they're part of a plan.
Well,
part of
you're
a team.
Not telling them something you're not doing yourself.
Exactly.
It becomes very real when you see them.
Okay, that was way over 5 minutes.
Yeah, that was a whole show.
There you go, Genevilia. There's your Girl Kids show for the week. I tried to hurry through, but it's just too good. It's just too good. For everybody else who doesn't need it or doesn't care or don't like these shows, prefer us to be funny and do skits, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll do something funny.
We always do something funny.
Did we?
I don't know.
Did you poop?
No.
Okay.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
I'm sorry. I just thought I smelled something. But you said you did something funny, and I smelled something funny and put two and two together and got a poop. And
then, that's you.
Now, what? Bios con Dios. Happy Tuesday.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the Creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.